The following is a rebroadcast of Straight Talk About Money. The market data in this rebroadcast is not current and should not be used for any financial decisions.
And we're going to talk this morning with Dr. Jay Bryson. Dr. Bryson is Managing Director and Global Economist at Wells Fargo. But he's coming to us today, initially at least, representing NABE. Now, as you know, we'd love to have the folks on from NABE. And three times a year they do surveys. One is the Outlook Survey, one's a business condition survey, and this one is the Economic Policy Survey, which they've released. And so Dr. Bryce has been kind enough to agree to come on and chat with us about it. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Mike. How's it going today?
I'm going fine. Market hasn't opened up yet, you know, so.
that could change any moment.
Yeah, but it looks like it's going to be a better day than yesterday. So, by the way, before we get started for the NABE report, do you have any thoughts about what's going on now? I mean, obviously we've got high volatility, markets are all over the place. Do you have any thoughts or comments about that, sir?
Well, I guess in general, what it reflects is maybe some concerns about, you know, general global growth and then what sort of effects that will have on the United States. And, you know, we've put out, I guess, a series of reports now suggesting that, I mean, it's nothing to ignore, but, you know, the United States is, I don't want to say it's an island unto itself, but sometimes you can overemphasize the effects of the rest of the world on the U.S. economy. If you look at the U.S. economy, about 10% of the wages and salaries and profits are attributable to the rest of the world. Now, that's, you know, a fairly big number, but it's not the end of the world as well. And so there's some, you know, there's just concerns of what's going on in the rest of the world and how that's going to shake out on the United States. And that's what's leading, I think, to the volatility that we're seeing right now.
Yeah, that's much different than the emerging markets. When you look at the emerging markets, do you have an idea of kind of what percent in general? I mean, are you talking about 50-50 over there, or what's
No. So if you start with that 10% that I talked about, you know,
right,
wages and salaries and profits and rent, it's what's called value added. So if you look at what we get from the emerging markets or the developing economies of the world, that's about 4%. The 6% would be from other advanced economies like Western Europe and Canada and Japan and places like that. You know, 90% of it really comes down to domestic spending here in the United States. And, you know, when you think about some of the largest sectors in our economy, I mean, so like healthcare, right? I mean, how much does healthcare depend on what's happening in the rest of the world? That's essentially zero. Well, education, essentially zero. You know, so some of the largest sectors in our economy really don't, aren't affected much by the rest of the world. Manufacturing is a little bit different animal, but that's a relatively small part of our economy today.
Right, sure is. Well, let's get to the NABE report. I'll come back to that in a little while, but we want to hear what's going on with the report. Now, you had, I think, responses from 331 members. That seems to be a pretty healthy.
Yeah,
that's a healthy response from a lot of the reports that y'all have.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, with this particular report, this policy survey, typically we get, you know, somewhere between 200 and 250 is the normal run rate. But for this particular one, for whatever reason, we got over 300. So we're very pleased with that.
And obviously, first thing about the report is the fiscal and monetary policy. You have a large majority, 77% of your respondents, expect the Fed to raise the Fed's fund rate anywhere from around, I guess, about 25 basis points, it seems, by the end of the year. Any thoughts on next month, or do you think it's more, has this disruption in the market pushed that down? Do you think that we're looking more for a December raise?
Well, let's put it this way. So the survey was actually taken between late July and early August, and so this is before volatility in the markets really started. So, I mean, I don't want to speak for members. I'm not exactly sure how they would answer today. I can't imagine it would have gone up. If anything, that response rate probably would have gone down. But, yeah, you know, so if you look at that survey, 37% thought that the Fed would raise rates in September. And, you know, by the end of the year, so there's three meetings. There's one in September, one in October, and then one in December. 78% thought that. One of those three meetings, the Fed would raise rates.
Now, one of the things that really struck me, and because I'd heard somebody talk about this earlier this spring, is that you had fewer than one in eight respondents believe that the Fed's fund rate would rise above 4% before the Fed started to ease again. So I guess what you're really, what your members are really saying is that yeah, the interest rate's going to go up, but they're not going to go up very far.
Yeah, and to put that, so put that a number in perspective. So, you know, essentially 90% of our members think it won't go above 4%. And just to put that number in perspective, if you look at the end of the last tightening cycle, so that would have been, believe it or not, almost 10 years ago, back in 2006, they got interest rates up to 5.25%. And so our members think, and a vast majority of our members think we're not going to get anywhere close to that. And I think what it reflects is, you know, over the last decade or so, the, you know, the long run growth rate of the economy, arguably is slower today than it was a decade ago. There's a lot of different reasons for that. But, you know, with that slower growth rate, it just means that interest rates don't have to rise as high to have a restraining effect on the economy.
Do the majority of your members think that the that we're on the right track as far as our monetary policy is concerned?
Well, yeah. So I would say a majority. I mean, it's not an overwhelming. 52% thought it was quote about right. So that's a majority. It's not overwhelming.
Right.
You know, but 40%. So that's, you know, that's a significant minority, if you want to call it that. 40% would say it's too stimulative. And, you know, I think, again, this reflects, you know, another question we asked them was, so when do you think the Fed will raise rates? And, that, and 37 said September. You know, we put the czar's hat on, or we made them, Janet Yellen, and we said, okay, you get to decide now. When would you raise rates? 47% said they would raise in September. So, you know, so what that's saying is more of our members think that they should actually, all right, start get going now, you know,
right,
than what they will actually do.
Dr. Bryson, do you think the Fed's painted themselves into a corner where, you know, those of us on Wall Street know that they need to raise rates because they've got no ammunition just in case deflation should rear its head if they're at zero interest rate policy. And a zero interest rate policy obviously is not a natural state of events for markets. But have they kind of painted themselves in the corner because there doesn't seem to be a resounding economic reason to raise rates other than you just need to have them up there?
Yeah, well, I guess you're right. I mean, there's not any major signs of inflation right now. However, I mean, the unemployment rate continues to come down. You know, the measured rate of unemployment, which is at, you know, 5.5%. You know, people will say, okay, what's the quote real rate of unemployment? You know,
right.
If you throw people in there who are, you know, part time, they'd really like to work full time, or they've gotten discouraged or whatever. You know, that's down around 10%. That sounds high, okay, but that peaked at 17% back
right.
in 2009, 2007. So by any measure, the labor market has gotten tighter and tighter. And, you know, yeah, zero interest rates is not the normal course of events, right? You know, and so what they've actually have been doing recently, and this is with this volatility, some of them, and this, the Atlanta Fed president, Mr. Lockhart, yesterday kind of actually came out and said this, is that he still thinks it's appropriate to be raising rates by the end of the year. And so, you know, they're still sending that message out there that, look, rates are probably coming up, although when it happens, it's not going to be real, real fast. It's going to be a slow, deliberate pace. But it seems like what they're telling us is most members believe it's time to start to normalize monetary policy. We're moving that direction.
Yeah. Well, I guess they're going to. The big question now is when. There must be a betting pool in Las Vegas or something like that by now. Anyway, Dr. Price, if you'll stay with us, I have a few more questions for you. Folks, stay with us. You're listening to Straight Talk Money, where we bring you the wisdom of Wall Street each and every day. Markets are going to be up big in just a few moments. We'll be right back with you.
The following is a rebroadcast of Straight Talk About Money. The market data in this rebroadcast is not current and should not be used for any financial decisions.
We are joined this morning, and we're happy to have Dr. Jay Bryson with us. Dr. Bryson is Managing Director and Global Economist at Wells Fargo. This morning, he is representing NABE. NABE is the National Association for Business Economics. Those are folks that use economics in their business, which are a lot of folks. Dr. Bryson, roughly how many members does NABE have, sir?
I think it's around 2,500 members. Most of these would be, you know, as you mentioned, people who use economics, you know, in work. So they're not all necessarily economist, but you know,
right.
there's a heavy economic focus on the members.
Right, and it cuts a pretty broad swath, does it not? I mean, you cover a large percentages of the businesses in the United States.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, so I'm obviously a representative of the financial services industry,
right.
But you know, there's people from, you know, the automotive guys and chemical guys, and yeah, it's all across the board.
Yeah. So, no, it's a great organization, and we're always happy to have members on as you come out with your reports and your surveys. Now, this should be easy for you as a member of the financial services world, because the next thing I want to talk about a little bit is the comments of or the response of your members regarding Dodd-Frank and the Wall Street reform and the Consumer Protection Act. And they seem to, at least it looked to me like reading it, that a lot of them, 46%, thought it was too restrictive and compliance too expensive. What a surprise that is. Regulation being too expensive. What are the thoughts of the members there?
Yeah, so I mean, if I had to, I guess, think of one word to describe it in terms of the thoughts in terms of Dodd-Frank, I think it probably would be skeptical. You know, so for the answer that got the biggest response, 46% said that, okay, Dodd-Frank accomplishes some worthy goals, but it is too restrictive and compliance too expensive. And then 16% would just trash it altogether, get rid of it, right? So between, if you take those two, that's about 60%, I think, have some skepticism about it. Although, you know, I would also add that, you know, the opinions are, you know, kind of all over the place. 18% think that it doesn't go far enough. But, you know, again, in general, you know, 60%, I think, would express some skepticism towards the efficacy of Dodd-Frank.
Yeah, well, having been in the financial services industry for 40 years, more regulation is not what we need. Anyway, I'd like to kind of staying in that area of legislation, an area that really is of interest to me because I just don't know how this is going to work out, is the federal minimum wage. I know you asked some questions to your folks about that. What were their thoughts on that?
Yeah, and I'm going to use the word surprising here. I mean, it was a little bit surprising to me when I saw this. A majority actually, and these are economists, the majority actually would say the minimum wage should be increased.
That
now, about
surprise
a third
me.
Just said just increased with no conditions attached. So that was a third. A quarter then of the members said it should be increased, but maybe with some exemptions. You know, like I say, if you're a teenage worker, you wouldn't get the higher minimum wage. Or if you're short tenured, that is, you know, you've only been there for a month or so. Or if you're maybe a tipped employee, okay? So,
right.
But, you know, together, I mean, we're looking at close to 60% thought that the minimum wage should be maybe increased, you know, again, maybe with some exemptions there. And then there was like 38% together would have said just keep it unchanged you know, abolish it altogether.
Yeah, it's because it's going to hit the restaurant business. I know. I mean, that's pretty expensive to pay all those kids at McDonald's $15 an hour. That's going to be you'll definitely see an increase in your Big Mac. That's for sure. Your foreign economic policy. What are the thoughts on what's going on over there? Apparently, you looked at the European Central Bank and what their positions are. You're a global economist. Do you agree with what they're doing? It seems like to me, before you answer, is that the whole world watched us stimulate with our QEs, and now everybody's just copying us.
Yeah, we were certainly the first out of the gate, if you will, in terms of quantitative easing. That started back in 2009 here. And, you know, arguably, I think, you know, now the whole history of that has not been written yet, right? But, I mean, arguably, I think it has had some successes. It has helped to stimulate the economy. And other central banks, the major central banks, the Bank of Japan and the European Central Bank being the two biggest, are also doing the same sort of thing as well. I mean, it's not a silver bullet for sure, but you know, perhaps on the margin it does help. You know, when you look at our you know, the questions we asked here, most of our members would thought that it's going to have some sort of success there, but it's not overwhelming, and you know, the success is slow in coming as well.
Do you think things are going to come around over there in Europe? Because that's one of the worries that Wall Street has on its wall of worry, is whether or not Europe is going to continue to move forward and turn around.
I would say that the clearest and most present danger for Europe is, you know, the whole Greece problem. And I think that can has, I don't think that problem is, quote, solved. But I think the can has been kicked down the road for another 2 years or so. I mean, I think 2 years from now we're going to be talking about Greece again. But, you know, this third bailout package that you're doing, that looks like that's going to go through. A lot of the volatility as it relates to Europe has died down. Now, I don't think Europe is going to be growing great guns anytime soon, but I don't think it's going to blow up and go back into recession either. So that seems like that's kind of off the radar screen, at least for the time being.
In fact, you ask your respondents about Greece, I think, did you not?
That's right. One of the questions we asked is, do you believe that Greece will eventually exit the Eurozone before the end of 2018? 42% said yes, 46% said no. So, you know, that was equally split, more or less. But again, this is before the end of 2018. I don't want to speak for the members, but I'll just give you my own opinion. I think a Greek exit, certainly before the end of this year and probably by the end of next year, is unlikely. But, you know, as I mentioned before, I think the can has been kicked down the road for another 2 years. And say, come in 2017 or so, we're going to be talking about Greece again.
Well, this is probably is your only opinion also, I guess, but may I ask you, would it make a difference if Greece leaves? I mean, is that
well,
important,
you know,
that they stay?
I don't want to offend any of your listeners who may be Greek. I would say in the grand scheme of things, you know, Greece is it's a relatively small economy, and Greece itself is not going to bring down the global economy. But what you would potentially worry about is the contagion on a Spain or an Italy, which are much bigger and has much bigger debt exposure out there. And if a Greek exit then brought investors to think that, okay, maybe Spain and Italy are next, that could be a very troubling sort of event. So it's not Greece per se, right? It's what does it mean for potential contagion to other bigger guys in Europe?
Yeah, kind of the first domino, I guess. And
right, exactly. Yep.
Yeah. All right, I've got about 30 seconds. Any final thoughts? Are you optimistic about the markets right now?
You know, I'm not a market sort of guy, but what I would say is I think when I look at the U.S. economy in general, you know, I say the glass is still half full at this point. You know, I think that the expansion that's been underway here in the United States is going to continue for the foreseeable future.
Dr. Bryson, we got to run. Thank you so much, sir, for being with us today.
You have been listening to a rebroadcast of Straight Talk About Money. The market data in this rebroadcast is not current and should not be used for any financial decisions.